looking at here is a depiction of the development of this child in its prenatal stage of life, from virtually the very beginnings to the end of that stage. We have here the child at 4 weeks, at 8 weeks, at 12 weeks, at 16 weeks, at 18 weeks, 20 weeks, and at 28 weeks. As you can see, there is no revolutionary or dramatic change in the form or in the substance of this person throughout this developmental stage. Now, this little person at 12 weeks is a fully formed, absolutely identifiable human being. He has had brain waves for at least 6 weeks. His heart has been functioning for perhaps 8 weeks. And all the rest of his human functions are indistinguishable from any of ours. Now, this book is Williams Obstetrics, the 16th edition, written in 1980. It is a standard textbook used throughout every medical school in the United States. Preface of this book, published in 1980, cautions us as follows. Happily, we have entered an era in which the fetus can be rightfully considered and treated as our second patient. Who would have dreamed, even a few years ago, that we could serve the fetus as physician? Traditional medical ethics and precepts command us that we must not destroy our patients, that we are pledged to preserve their lives. Now let's see what abortion does to this, our second patient. We have then the 12-week unborn child in the uterus being this muscle surrounding the child. When the abortionist commences the procedure, he will first place this instrument, which is known as a speculum, into the woman's vagina and will then open it in order to visualize the cervix, the neck of the womb, here. Having visualized the cervix, the abortionist then takes this instrument, which is known as a tenaculum, and fastens it securely through the speculum onto the cervix in this manner, clamping shut the tenaculum and getting a firm grasp on the cervix. The next instrument which is brought into play is called the sound. This instrument is then introduced into the uterus, and it is then removed, the abortionist having ascertained exactly how deep, and in fact how large, the uterus is. And then this set of dilators, these metallic curved instruments, are used to effect the opening of the cervix in order to introduce, finally, the abortion instruments themselves. The abortionist first introduces the most slender of these instruments into the cervix to dilate the cervix, turns the instrument around to a slightly larger end, introduces that end, and then works his way through the various graduated, increasingly larger ends of this dilating instrument. He will then take the instrument known as the suction apparatus, which is opened. It is in a sterile container prior to the actual use of the instrument. And then this will be inserted through the dilated cervix up into the uterus and will then puncture the sac surrounding the child, allowing the amniotic fluid to escape. The instrument then will come into direct contact with the child, and with a pressure of approximately 55 or so millimeters of mercury applied to the end of this instrument, as it is attached to a long, thick suction tubing at this end and to the abortion instrumentation, that is the machine, at the other end, the suction tip will begin to tear the child apart. The pieces of the body are torn away one by one, until finally all that remains are shards of the body and the head itself. The head will be too large to come through this instrument itself. This will necessitate the introduction of this instrument, called a polyp forceps, into the uterus through the already dilated cervix, and the abortionist will then attempt to grasp the free-floating head of the child in the uterus between the rings of this instrument. The head is then crushed, the contents of the head removed, and finally the bones of the head. And the abortion is then effectively at an end. We've seen what the 12-week child appears on the ultrasound screen. And we have also seen the mechanics, the actual steps of a 12-week abortion. Now for the first time, we're going to see a film made with real-time ultrasound imaging of a 12-week abortion. Bear in mind that this is not an unusual instance, a late abortion. This is one of the 4,000 or so a day done every day in the United States. This film was made at an abortion clinic. The physician who performed the abortion was a young man who was working in two different abortion clinics at the time. He had already done close to 10,000 abortions in his young life. When he was asked to attend the editing session to view the film, he was so appalled at what he had done that he left the room momentarily, came back to finish the editing, but never again did another abortion. The young woman who used the real-time ultrasound camera was a feminist and a strong pro-abortionist. But she, too, was so moved by what she saw at the editing session that she never again discussed the subject of abortion.